Hey guys, welcome to Lunch Plus. Today we are talking about wisdom versus knowledge versus understanding. What are all those things? That's why you clicked on. We're going to be answering those questions at the top of the hour. If you are in the replay, you can actually go down to the timestamp specifically and click to go there right now. However, if you're live with us, we've got an awesome broadcast in store for you today. Right now, it's Family Chat where we get to hang out with you. It's me and Marky, and you know that's really why you're on right now. You just want to hang out with us. Followed by Bible Trivia, where you can win free money on us by being the person to answer first correctly the answer to Buddy's Bible Trivia questions, followed by a time of confessions, and then top five. We didn't do a top 10 last week. We're back this week with a top five, and it's going to be a fun one. I'm excited about it. Followed by what's the word? I'm pretty excited about top five. I miss tops.
Can you give us a hint on what your top five is?
Food.
That's not, no.
It's very specific food. It's very specific food. It's super random, but you know, sometimes the random ones are the best ones. Drop in the comments right now who you are, where you're watching from, so that way we can say hi to you. Johnny is on, William's on, Joni's on.
Hi.
We love y'all. Johnny was the first as we came back on with our second stream. He may have even been the first time. So Johnny could have been like a double time winner today.
Did you mention the 100th comment
thing? I didn't. Do it. Go for it.
So, if you're the 100th comment of the day, you get a gift card. It happens every day.
Every day.
Every single day. Someone gets it. Do you want it to be you? Comment.
You know what's really exciting is you got to witness me drink cranberry juice after I had a mint in my mouth.
Oh, how was that?
That was really unpleasant. So the face that came with me trying to control, that's gross, but I'm on camera. It was super sour and really unpleasant in my mouth.
Oh, I can like feel it in my mouth thinking about it.
Yeah. How are you? Put in the comments how your day is going. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to put up our first question of the day. Answer these questions. That way we can hang out with you. Question number one. How many days in a row can you wear the same pair of pants? I've asked this question before on the broadcast back when Paul was here.
Paul has very strong opinions. Does he wash them every day or something like that?
I think so. Like, he's not for re-wearing them.
I'm probably going to say I'm comfortable with, like, 3 days. I'm comfortable with that.
You won't go past that?
I'm not saying I won't, but I'm not comfortable with it. If I have to, like, if I didn't get to do laundry or something, I might go past that. But, like, I would rather not.
Yeah, I'm a solid, like, 3 to 4.
Yeah.
But I don't, like, if I haven't been doing, like, any physical activity stuff,
then matters.
I'm like, I can keep going. I'm fine.
It depends. Like, Sundays, after Sundays.
No, you can't rewear Sunday clothes.
Those all get washed immediately.
Now, Pastor Nicole can rewear Sunday clothes. I've seen her do it before, but, like, after we, particularly this last Sunday, when we stepped off the platform Sunday, I'm like, I have to change in between services.
I had just washed all of my, like, my jeans, everything that I had just worn. I just washed it, and I was, like, all dirty. All of it. Even the cardigan, if it touched me, it's dirty. Because we were sweating a lot.
It's true. Buddy says, I'm probably on my 4th day in these jeans. It's good to know. They've held up super well. William says, how many days can I until they far apart? How many should I? Probably 3 to 4. See, William, we're on the same team. Johnny and Rachel say, it depends on what you're doing in them. That's valid. I'm comfortable if, like, I haven't done a whole lot. If I haven't done a whole lot and they, like, have no odor or whatever, but, like, if there's, like, you don't want your clothes smelling, so... Yeah. Yeah, for sure. William says Marky was the Midas of dirt.
I don't get it.
You know how King Midas, anything he touched, like, it turned to gold? He's saying on Sunday, because you were so sweaty and stuff, everything you touched turned to gross.
It did. I was like, I just know. I don't even have to smell it. I just know it's going to be bad.
Joni says 4 is super gross.
Oh, we got one. Okay, this whole time everyone's been like, eh. I was waiting. I was like, wow, everyone's like super just like whatever. But okay, we have an opinion about when to wash them.
Joni and Paul are on the same team. It's Joni and Paul through and through. If they're not gross, then I'm good. Okay, question number 2. We'll do one more today before we hand it over to Buddy. What does your perfect Saturday look like? Like, in dream world, what would you do on a Saturday? If things were normal and, like, open, like, what would you want to do on a Saturday? I almost went for the cranberry juice again, and I remembered, no, don't do it.
Because you're mad. I would sleep in a little bit, not a ton.
What is not a ton?
I don't know. It varies. What time I wake up can vary quite significantly on the spectrum. So somewhere.
See,
and
not
then,
a ton for me would be like 8.
Yeah, that's like, meh. That's not super fun. And then I would go driving, and it would be a
That's
sunny
true.
Day. I would go driving. I would go to, like, Charlotte or, like, Concord or something, and I would go, like, I would get, like, go to get, like, coffee or something, go to a store, maybe, like, look around, just, like, be out and about and shopping and stuff like that. And the sun would be shining, and I'd be listening to music, and I'm done.
I understand. Johnny said grocery shopping and cooking.
That's what your perfect Saturday is.
Grocery
like,
shopping?
I mean, I like the grocery store, but like, wow, interesting.
William said, I'd wake up early, drive to either Oak Island or Blowing Rock, spend the day, watch the sunset, drive home, sleep. William, I love you.
That was kind of similar to mine.
Blowing Rock is only 2 hours away, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's for sure something that you should do.
Oh, is that where you guys went recently?
Mm-hmm. I think for me, just because Johnny is where I was going. For me, grocery shopping and farmers markets are totally different. Mm-hmm. George and I, like, back last year in the summertime, we went to this great big ginormous farmers market in Charlotte that's like 3 full buildings, mm-hmm. and we woke up around like 8, 9, went to the farmers market, went and got coffee and things, like, hung out around town.
That's so nice.
Like, you and I are very similar in that vein, except I get up earlier at this point, so it's cool.
True.
Well, that's been Family Chat. We're going to hand it over to Buddy right now. Get ready to win some free money on us for the people who answer the questions first, the fastest, correctly. And, yeah, get ready to win. We're going to hand it over to you, Buddy.
Hey guys, welcome to Bible Trivia. My perfect Saturday would probably be to eat a burger at this point, or Pop-Tarts. I don't know. I'm just hungry. But with that being said, it's time for Bible Trivia. It's time for Bible Trivia. Literally, that was the first thing that came to my mind was I would just eat. Anyway, it's time for Bible Trivia. This is your opportunity to win a gift card on us. And guys, if you're the first person to comment the right answer on today's Bible Trivia, we have 5 questions for you. If you're the first person to answer the question correctly on our screen, it might look different on your screen, but if you're the first correct answer on our screen, you win a gift card on us, and you can claim that at whatsright.com/gift. You can claim your gift there. With that being said, though, here's how we want you to give your answers. We have 5 multiple choice questions, and what we want you to do is we want you to first put the number of the question and A, B, C, or D, whatever your answer is for that question. That way we know which question you're on, and we know what's going on. All right, so again, we want you to put, for example, 1D. We want you to, that's how we would want you to put it in the comments, just so we're all on the same page. And the first person to get the correct answer on our screen gets a gift card. All right, are you guys ready? Are your brains moving? Are they wiggling? Are your fingers prepared to type on your screen? Are you ready to win some gift cards? Let's do this! Time for question number 1 for Bible Trivia. What was the profession of the disciples Simon, Andrew, James, and John Were they A, carpenters? Were they B, tax collectors? Were they C, fishermen? Or were they D, pharmacists? What was the profession of the disciples Simon, Andrew, James, and John? Were they carpenters, tax collectors, fishermen, or pharmacists? I see the answers coming in the comments, and I see some correct answers coming in the comments. Oh, my throat did something weird there. The correct answer is C, fishermen, and that goes to William Aldridge over on YouTube. Guys, this is gonna be a good one. I'm telling you, make sure you put your answers in the comments because this is gonna be good. All right, let's jump in to question number two. Question number two, what sea did the Israelites cross to get away from the Egyptians? Was it A, the Dead Sea? Was it B, the Red Sea? Was it C, the Jordan Sea? Or was it D, the Sea to Shining Sea? What sea did the Israelites cross to get away from the Egyptians? Oh, I see the comments coming in. Joni said for the last one, I thought you meant profession like profession of faith. Haha, no, like job is what I was talking about. What sea did the Israelites cross to get away from the Egyptians? Was it the Dead Sea, the Red Sea, the Jordan Sea, or the Sea to Shining Sea? It is, in fact, B, the Red Sea. And that goes to, guess who? William Aldridge over on YouTube. William said, gives a whole new meaning to the term Red Dead Redemption. Because of Red Sea. And they were redeemed from Israel. I like it. All right. Well, that means William just got two gift cards. You know what that means. It suddenly became a challenge. You got to beat William. This is your challenge. All right. Let's jump into question number three. Why did Joseph and Mary have to travel to Bethlehem before Jesus was born? Was it A, for a census? Was it B, for a wedding? Was it C, to flee the king? Or was it D, for a bar mitzvah? Why did Joseph and Mary have to travel to Bethlehem before Jesus was born? Was it a census? Was it a wedding? Was it to flee the king? Or was it for a bar mitzvah? I see the answers coming in, and they're coming in quickly. The correct answer is A, for a census. Mary and Joseph traveled to Jerusalem for a census, and then they had to flee the king to go to, and they went to Egypt. So I might have tricked some of y'all on that one. But yes, that correct answer is A, which means Johnny got that one. Well done, Johnny. That gift card goes to you. All right, guys, it's time for question number four. Question number four for Bible trivia. What did Samuel name the stone he erected to mark his victory over the Philistines? Was it A, Zebedee? Was it B, Bethel? Was it C, Ebenezer? Or was it D, Maher Shalal Hashbaz? I did have so much fun with that. Was it Zebedee? Was it Bethel? Was it Ebenezer? Or was it Maher Shalal Hashbaz? I see some of the answers coming in. I would just like to say, it's not D. Maher Shalal Hashbaz was the name of Isaiah's son. And that's my favorite name in all of the Bible. William said, answer D just brought back a memory I didn't even think I had. All right, I see some answers in the comments, but I have yet to see the correct answer. Well, there's the correct answer. The correct answer is actually C. So the first person to put in 4C on the comments gets a gift card. Come on, guys. First person gets a gift card. You can bring it back to me. I have faith in you guys. You can do this. 4C is all you have to write in the comments. If you don't do it, I will do it. I feel like at this point, people are like, I don't think it's right for me to do this. Come on, guys. There it is. Yay! William Aldridge, 4C. You beat Johnny Shaver by 1 second. Well done, William. You got your next gift card. All right, now we're entering in. I would just like to say, Serena, if you're watching, I would like to name our son Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Let me know what you think. All right, question number five. Question number five. Who was the Syrian who came to Elijah to be healed of leprosy? Was it A, Haman? Was it B, Abihu? Was it C, Naaman? Or was it D, just some other guy? Who was the Syrian who came to Elijah to be healed of leprosy? Was it Haman, Abihu, Naaman, or some other guy? I see the comments coming in pretty quickly, actually. Hello, someone beat William Aldridge over on YouTube. Let's put up the correct answer. It is C, Naaman, and that goes to Joni Bjorkgren over on YouTube. Well done, Joni. Congratulations, you just got a gift card. For all of you who won a gift card today, make sure you go to whatsright.com/gift and you can receive your gift card there. But guys, thank you for joining us today for Bible Trivia. Now we're going to be moving on to a time of confessions with Marky. We'll see you right there.
Welcome to Confessions. This is a wonderful time where we get to speak the word over our situation. You know, the word is not something just to be studied, not something just to be thought about. The word is something to be spoken. There's power when we speak it. So when we do this, expect the power to come out. Expect that when you speak the word of God, your situations change. You know, every day we have a different confession that touches different things. So as you watch every single day, you get to have a different confession. So make sure to catch every day, every confession. Because as you apply faith to it, the word works. All of these confessions are based in the word, which is what makes them so powerful. So let's go into our confession for today. Confession for today is number four. No, I started to do three. Number four. So let's say this together. Don't just read it. Don't just think it. Don't just think, oh, that's a nice sentence. I really like that sentence. Let's say it out loud together with me. Okay. Every weapon formed against us is exposed, will not prosper, and is destroyed. And let's say it one more time, and when we get to us, say me. Every weapon formed against me is exposed, will not prosper, and is destroyed. In Jesus' name. Now, I think we're going to, do we have time for a special announcement? Oh, it's top 10. It's top 5. I'm sorry. It's top 5. We are going to go into top 5. Barrett already said that our top 5 is food related. We had that entire conversation. I've heard about this multiple times. I'm so sorry. We are moving into top 5 right now with Barrett, which I'm excited. We haven't had this for like 2 weeks, so now we get to have it back. Get ready. Get your opinions ready. You know, this is a time where your opinions are welcome. You can... If you don't like it, you can actually say that. I'm so sorry. I'm encouraging people to disagree with Barrett. I'm so sorry. Okay, it's going to be fun. Get ready. We're going into top 5 right now.
For top 5 today, I'm going to tell you what it is in a second, but here's the thing. I want to hear your opinions because we still haven't hit our 100th commenter. So you could be on a total tangent about why you disagree with me and then get paid for it. So, I mean, it's just incentive for you, whatever you want to do. Today's top 5, the top 5 best Pop-Tarts, because why not? On a fast, you know, sometimes your mind, if you don't take it captive, it just starts rabbit trailing in all sorts of interesting places. And the other day, this rabbit trail was an interesting one. First of all, much like Oreos, do you know how many random types of Pop-Tarts exist? There's a bunch. Like, so many. So I wanted to do my top five, plus, as bonus for you, I'm going to tell you about the weirdest ones I found that I want to try once the fast is over. Joni says chocolate toasted, like right out the gate. Chocolate, exclamation point, toasted. Jade says brown sugar and cinnamon, yes. Jade says, and sometimes blueberry. See, I knew that I'd have people here with Pop-Tarts. Here we go. Johnny says, are we talking brands or flavors? Flavors, not brands of Pop-Tarts. This is just straight Pop-Tarts. William says, I only know Pop-Tarts. I know of no flavors. What? Do you just eat the Pop-Tart and think it's all the same? William, there are so many different options. Jade says, always toasted. I didn't know you could toast Pop-Tarts until I was an adult. That's not something that I ever did until I was an adult. And now I know it makes sense why their names are the way that they are. Let's hop into our first one. Number five. Frosted cherry. Oh, it's so good. Look at that pink delicious frosting with sprinkles and then the cherry in the middle. That's one of my absolute favorites. Pastor says, I like it. There's just something about those. Like the people who don't eat the frosted ones, I understand for health reasons why, but if you're already eating Pop-Tarts, go big or go home. Like just go for it with the frosting. I'm getting in the comments, stop it, Barrett. I love you. I love you guys so much. Buddy says, I have a bad feeling that all of these will be fruit flavored. I rebuke thee. It will not be. Number four, please. So that was number five. Number four is frosted cookies and cream. Oh, it's such a good one. Have you had the cookies and cream? It's such a good Pop-Tart. Like, I bought those probably within the last 4 months to have as dessert options for myself and George. And it's so good. There's also, in my opinion, like, Pastor Nicole and I first bonded over the proper way to eat a Three Musketeers bar. In Barrett's version, there's also a proper way to eat the Pop-Tarts. You get all the crust off first, you eat that first, and then super savor the cream in the middle. It's great. And Rachel in the booth strongly just agreed with me. Marky says, y'all can't see it, but I'm glaring at Barrett. Out of love, because I'm giving her ideas for what to do next week when the fast is over. Becca says, I need to try those. I've never had them, but I love cookies and cream flavor ice cream, so I bet Pop-Tarts would be good. William says, so basically Oreo Pop-Tarts? Yes. Buddy says, that's a thing? Absolutely it is. You can go to your local store right now and get some. You're welcome. Number three. Let's go into number three. Dun, 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 dun. It is frosted raspberry Pop-Tarts. I feel like this is like the original Pop-Tart. I'm sure strawberry probably came first, but the raspberry one, again, nice white frosting, like cute little multicolored sprinkles, the raspberry flavor, and heated up, those are excellent. William says, you eat the cardboard first and then get to the gooey deliciousness. See, I don't think of it as cardboard. I think of it as like an upgraded, like, communion wafer. Like, it's not communion wafer, but if you were to, like, go highbrow communion wafer, instead of bread, you could do the edge of the Pop-Tart and hey. Rachel says, that sounds so good. I didn't even know these existed. Becca says, I bet those are good. Guys, what sort of Pop-Tarts do you eat? How, like, cookies and cream and raspberry? I just got an answer from the crowd. Like, people in the crowd have a very strong opinion. I also probably should have thought before talking about food for so long in front of people fasting. It's like dangling like carcass in front of hyenas. It's like, ho ho. Okay, so yeah, that's number three. I feel like that's a pretty solid number three. Let's go to number two. My personal number two favorite is frosted blueberry. This is probably because I'm from Maine and blueberries are just a thing up there. Like it is, they're grown up there, they're wonderful, but the blueberry Pop-Tarts make me so happy. Like if I'm going to go fruity and I'm going to go Pop-Tart, I'm going blueberry. That's my all-time favorite fruit-flavored Pop-Tart. William says, I bet there's a Catholic sect somewhere that uses Pop-Tart crust as communion wafers. Jade says, blueberry? Yes, now I can be on your team. Guys, I have a feeling that today's top five may be exciting for most of you. And then Joni commented as I was making that statement saying, I'm starting to worry that chocolate is not on this list at all. So I'm gonna be straight with you. Chocolate is not on this list at all because this is just a top five. If this were like a top 10, s'mores would be on there. The chocolate brownie would be on there. The cookie dough would be on there. Like there would be a whole bunch of them, but this is just my all-time top five. So let's put up number one. My number one all-time favorite Pop-Tart forever is Frosted Brown Sugar Cinnamon, Frosted Brown Sugar Cinnamon. It's so great, it's delicious. Go buy some today. I mean, I'm not sponsoring them, but I just made a jingle. So yeah, this is my favorite of the Pop-Tarts. It's like, I'm pretty sure that's the first Pop-Tart I ever had. It's the one that was most commonly in our house. Like they are delicious. Rachel puts in the comments, yes. George just hopped on and said cherry's number one. Cherry was my number five, but it made my top five because of you, George. Joni says, what? This is an ouch. Brown sugar cinnamon. Guys, like they're good not toasted. They're good toasted. Like it is, in my opinion, the best blending of the flavors. Just super delicious. Now here's a bonus for you, what I want to leave you with today. You know how we did the Oreo like bracket there for a month and we just compared super weird flavors of Oreos? There are super weird flavors of Pop-Tarts that exist. I gave you my top five. I want to show you three really random ones that I'm planning on trying as soon as the fast is done at some point. Okay, EO, in any particular Oreo order, EO. There we go. Fruit Loop Pop-Tarts. That looks super weird. Is it just Fruit Loops on top of the Pop-Tart? What does the jelly taste like? I don't know. That looks really weird and interesting. Let's go to the next one. Pink Lemonade Pop-Tarts. Have you guys ever seen Pink Lemonade Pop-Tarts before? I had never seen it until I went to Pop-Tart's website yesterday. And I was like, where have these been? I bet that's, again, super random. William's commenting about the Pop-Tart. Is the Pop-Tart in the shape of a loop? I don't think so. Kevin Nowicki is correct. There is apple pie Pop-Tarts too. Never had that one either. William says, whoa, I want one. Speaking of the pink lemonade. I know, I wanna try it too. I may just buy some and like mail it off to some of y'all. I don't know, but it looks super weird. George says, pink lemonade Pop-Tarts. Yes, that's why I married him. He's great. And then the one that I'm really excited about trying that I haven't bought it yet, but I've seen him in the stores and I'm super excited to try. Joni, I think this may redeem me in your eyes. Maybe, we'll see. The last one is pretzel chocolate. The outside of it is pretzel, the inside is chocolate, so it's like it's like salty chocolate pretzel-y. I want to try these. Would you guys try these with me? Put in the comments right now, when the fast is over, let's just set a day as a team, like as a family. Guys, we're a Lunch Plus family. Let's just set a day called Pretzel Pop-Tart Day when we all commit to trying it and then we come on the broadcast and talk about it. I think that would be great. George says that's really random. Buddy put up a barf face. What? Rachel says, I will try one. William says, what kind of schnitzel creation is that? I don't know, a schnitzel. Johnny says, of course. Natalie says, those look good. See, you guys are my people. We'll bring Buddy into it. He'll enjoy it. It'll be great. William says, I'd eat it, but I bet it's great. We'll try it as a whole. It'll be a fun time. George says he's in. Well, that has been top five. Not controversial, except for Joni. I love you, though, and I do like chocolate Pop-Tarts, just not in a top five. But that's been top five Pop-Tarts now. We are getting ready to hand this over to Pastor Brian. And if you guys remember from yesterday, or if you are just hopping on, Pastor is teaching on something he hasn't taught on in years. He hasn't taught on this subject since, I think he said, 2010. So you are in for a treat today. Wisdom versus knowledge versus understanding. What do they all mean? What are they? Find out now as we hop over to Pastor. Pastor, over to you.
everybody. Welcome to What's the Word. If you haven't done it already, share the broadcast, like, subscribe, hit the notification, the little bell, and that way you will always get notifications. I want to tell you one other thing as well. With everything that's going on, we want to stay in touch with you no matter what. So if you would, go to whatsright.com. We'll put that in the comments, whatsright.com. And right on the first page, right under the picture, it says, keep me in the loop or stay in touch. Just fill out that form and we will be able to stay in touch with you, get news to you. If we need to broadcast one place or another or something special, we will let you know. So go to whatsright.com and do that. Today we're talking about what is wisdom. What is wisdom? And in looking at wisdom, one of the things that happened, Barrett said I hadn't ministered on this since 2010. That's when the word came to me, but it actually was 2011 that I preached a series called Built, Established, and Filled. And in that series, what we looked at was the difference between wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And that's what we're going to look at today. But we're going to be explaining what is wisdom. Now, the last 2 days, we've talked about how wisdom comes. So, for example, many times people think that wisdom is simply worldly wisdom. But that's not the case. Actually, worldly wisdom can be not wisdom at all. What is that wisdom? Where does it come from? The last 2 days, we've talked about how we will get out of our head and stop thinking logically and in the flesh with our natural mind, and we will be in intimate fellowship with God. And when we get into intimate fellowship with God, we'll actually have the Holy Spirit who will teach us all things. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things. And that's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us the things that we need to know. And some of those things, we don't even know that we need to know them. But the Holy Spirit will give us exactly what we need when we need it. So the key is that we are in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and that will help us. So now, one of the things that I want to talk to you about is this. What exactly is wisdom? Where does wisdom begin? Where does it end? And where is it in the meantime? So let's look at Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. And many of you know this. Put it in the comments, Proverbs 9 and verse 10. Hey, I just want to ask these guys, have we had the 100th comment yet today? No? Okay. Then still, hey, put stuff in the comments. Put this in the comments. Where does wisdom begin? Where does wisdom begin? All right, so Proverbs 9 and verse 10 answers that for us. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. There we go. We just hit the 100th comment. I think y'all might have passed by you because I see it on mine. But anyway, the 100th comment today goes to Kevin Nowicki. Good job. Way to go, Kevin. That's awesome. So where does wisdom begin? Kevin, you win that gift card for the 100th comment. What we want you to know is this, is that go to whatsright.com/gift and you can claim that gift card for you. We'll get it out to you right away. All right, now, where does wisdom begin? So Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So what I want you to see really in here, we're going to talk more about this verse, but the first thing I want you to see is the beginning of wisdom is with who? It's with the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is with the Lord. Now, what I want you to do is you don't have to turn there, but Revelation chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6 says this, then he said to me, talking about the Lord and Jesus, then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. In other words, what he says is, I'm the beginning and I'm the end. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. In other words, if wisdom begins in him and he is the end as well, then all wisdom exists in God. I want you to put that in the comments right now if you would. All wisdom exists in God. All wisdom exists in God. And so when you see that wisdom begins in God and ends in God, then one of the things that you'll see is you can't get wisdom outside of God. And just put that in the comments, please. You can't get wisdom outside of God. And so when we're answering the question, what is wisdom? You know, we may say in the world that person is wise. But here's the issue. If their wisdom didn't come from God and it wasn't found in God, it's not wisdom at all. It's a counterfeit. In other words, a person can be smart, but wisdom always is in and from God. Wisdom is in and always is from God. All right? So you can put that in the comment. All wisdom is in God and from God. All wisdom is in God and from God. And when you see that and understand that, then you'll start to realize that I don't get wisdom by any other source. And knowing about wisdom, this is one of the keys. We have to understand that all wisdom comes from God. All wisdom is found in God. And by the verses we looked at yesterday and the day before, 1 Corinthians 2, all that wisdom is designed to flow to us through the Holy Spirit. All that wisdom is designed to flow to us through the Holy Spirit. And so, amen. Hey, Evangelist Mark Dunphy, good to see you. I love you too. Thank you for being on here. So when we see, again, that wisdom, the beginning of wisdom, it comes from the fear of the Lord, that the wisdom begins in God, and that Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, he is the end, then all wisdom from beginning to end is found in God and comes from God, then that means where do we get our wisdom from? Where, if the only way you're going to find true wisdom is if you find it through the Lord. You find it through his word. You find it from the Holy Spirit who will teach you all things. But it's got its source has to be of God. Now I want to go back to Proverbs chapter 9 and I want to look at verse 10 again. And it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so when we look at the fear of the Lord, you don't have to do that. I can see them now. I can see the tally lights. Thank you, though. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, I want you to see something. A lot of people are like, well, I've got to be shaking in my boots towards God to get into wisdom. That's not what this is talking about. It's talking about when you look at this word, it can mean an extreme respect. An extreme reverence, right? And that extreme reverence is what it's talking about Lord, I put you above everything. I'm not going to cross you. I'm not going to go against you. I'm going to receive everything that you have for me. And so, you know, what we're getting ready to look into is what's the difference between wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And in order to enter into that, in order to enter into a supernatural wisdom that God wants to get you, it's good for us to know where it comes from, how to get into it, and what they are when you get there. And that's what we're answering today. So what we see is that we enter into wisdom by giving God an extreme reverence. We enter into wisdom by giving God an extreme reverence. Please put that in the comments. We enter into wisdom by giving God an extreme reverence. And I would say it like this. It should be such an extreme reverence that some people would misinterpret it as fear. We are so reverent to the Lord that some people would say, well, they're just fearful. They're fearful. But we know from the New Testament and the whole counsel of the Word, we know that there is no fear in love. And God is love, and perfect love casts out all fear. We know that God has not given us a spirit of fear. And in other words, a phobia. So we don't have a phobia of God, but we do have an extreme reverence. In other words, our extreme reverence would never do things that we would have to fear Him over. Right? Our extreme respect and reverence and our honor of Him would never have to do anything that would cause us to have to fear. Okay? So one of the things that's very important for us to see is if we want to move into true wisdom, that wisdom is found in God and comes from God. And if we want to move into it, it starts with extreme reverence. Our wisdom that we have, if it's true, if it's not a counterfeit, it always starts and ends with extreme reverence to God. If we will stay in extreme reverence to God, God will pour out wisdom to you. And He's going to pour out some wisdom to some people that are watching this. He's going to pour out some great and mighty things to a lot of people that are watching this. Amen? If you're going to walk in wisdom, just put some hands up in the comments right now. I'm going to walk in the wisdom of God. I'm going to walk in the wisdom of God. Amen. And how are you going, where are you going to get that wisdom from? You're going to get it from God. Where does that wisdom come from? It comes from Him. It's in Him. And how are you going to enter into that wisdom? You're going to enter into that wisdom by putting on an extreme reverence of the Lord. When you put on that extreme reverence of the Lord, you begin the process of building wisdom in yourself. And so let's just do that. See, a lot of times people are not, they're not reverent of the Lord at all. They'll go to church. They say that they love God. They say that, but God will tell them something to do. And they haven't reverenced the Lord at all. They haven't desired to reverence the Lord at all. You know, God will say, no, don't mark that little box that'll save you a couple hundred on their taxes. They'll say, well, it's just a little thing. Everybody does it. They're not reverencing God. They're not believing in Him. They're believing in what other people say. I watch, let's see here to Exodus. Let's turn to Exodus. And let me find the place here. I want to show you something. Let me show you a reverence of God. I think it's around Exodus 1 or 2. Yeah. It's in Exodus 1. And watch this. Exodus 1:15. He said this, "Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiprah and the other was named Puah. And he said, when you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and you see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God." What are they moving in? The midwives feared God. Immediately, they're going to enter into some wisdom and the blessing of God. The midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. Now, why were they in wisdom here? And why were they in a reverence of God? They were in a reverence of God because they realized that the command of the king was contrary to the command of God. The command of the king went contrary to the command of God, and they said, no, we're not going to do that. Watch what happens to them. This is awesome. "And they did not do as they were commanded, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, 'Why have you done this thing and let the boys live?' And the midwives said to Pharaoh, 'Because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and they give birth before the midwife can get to them.'" Watch this, verse 20. "So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. Because the midwives feared God, He established households for them." Right? He established households for them. In other words, God blessed them. He established their household. That's one of the things we're talking about is the establishment. Wisdom, understanding and knowledge, one of the benefits of understanding is establishment. Okay? He establishment. We're going to talk about what established means probably tomorrow, and it is awesome. I mean, it is an awesome, awesome thing. And I want you to see this, but let's just say this. They were on a sure footing. He established their own households for themselves. They were on a sure footing, and God did it for them. God blessed them. In other words, when they feared the Lord, they moved in wisdom. When people will reverence God and have an extreme reverence of God, the people will move in wisdom and they'll move in the blessing of the Lord. Okay, now let's go back to Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord, or the extreme reverence of the Lord, is the beginning of wisdom. We enter into wisdom by having an extreme reverence of God. Well, let me talk to you about another extreme reverence of God. If you actually have a reverence from God, what's going to happen when you see that He has said some things? What's going to happen when His word is in front of you? You're going to say, I have a reverence for God. Let me find out what He said to me. You're going to go into this word and be like Joshua, who didn't let this word or the book of the law depart from your mouth, but he meditated in it day and night. You're going to spend time with the Father. You're going to be in prayer, in worship, in the word, and you're going to see this wisdom given out to you. This wisdom will bring about great and mighty things in your life. This wisdom will bring about great and mighty things in your life. But you're not going to move into those if you don't have the wisdom. And you're not going to move into wisdom if you don't reverence the Lord. All right, so now what I want to do is also look at this. At the end of the verse, it says, knowledge of the Holy One. And this is a big key. Knowledge of the Holy One. So a lot of times people are like, they have knowledge about things, but it's not knowledge of God. It's not wisdom of God. It's not understanding of God. It's only knowledge of whatever they want. It's knowledge of things of the world. And those things are knowledge in the world, but they're not true knowledge. It's not based on the truth. It's based on facts. It's factual knowledge, but not truth knowledge. We need knowledge of the truth. We need wisdom of the truth. We need understanding of the truth. And what we've examined over the last 2 days, if you didn't watch them, go back and watch those, talking about getting out of your head and moving into the wisdom of the Spirit. Then if what will happen is when we get knowledge of the truth by the Holy Spirit, that knowledge will cause us to know things in the world. So truth knowledge will cause you to have worldly knowledge, will cause you to have factual knowledge. But a lot of times people, they're working so hard to get factual worldly knowledge, not realizing that every bit of it is already in God. Every bit of it's already in the Lord. So he says, knowledge of the Holy One, knowledge of the truth is understanding. And so have you noticed in Proverbs that you see those words thrown around quite a bit? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I wrote this earlier, and I want to say it again. God is the beginning and the end of wisdom. All true wisdom is in Him. And so as we're looking for wisdom, remember, who did Jesus say will teach us the things of God? He said the Holy Spirit will. So as I was looking in Proverbs for years, I saw wisdom, I saw understanding, I saw knowledge in there. And I was thinking, you know, Lord, I need you to teach me. Like, I can kind of understand the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is like facts, and wisdom is maybe how you put those things together. But what is the difference between, from your perspective, Lord, what's the difference between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? What's the difference between those? I don't know what they are. Teach me, Lord. I ask Him to teach me. And so one day I was reading in Proverbs, not long after that, Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3 and 4. And let me read this to you. By wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. And what I saw was in these two verses, we have all three things, and we have the fruit that they bring about. So what you see is you have all three elements and you have what they produce, which it can help you see what it actually will bring about. And I started studying, I started praying and asking the Lord. I prayed in the Holy Ghost. I did what we've been talking about the last 2 days. Instead of just, you know, worldly, you know, physical mind study, I went to the Lord. I got in fellowship with Him. I said, Holy Spirit, I'm believing You for impartation of this wisdom that I need to understand the difference between wisdom, understanding, and knowledge and what it brings about. And I want to tell you, He answered me. And I did a whole series on it, 8 parts to the series back in 2011. And here's what He said. He said, I want you to call the series Built, Established, and Filled. Now, what's really neat is in the end of 2010, the Lord said this to me. He said, in 2011, I want Boomerang built, established, and filled. I want Boomerang built, established, and filled. Let's switch to the other camera. And so he said, I want Boomerang built, established, and filled. And so when he said that, I was like, hallelujah, praise God, this is awesome, this is going to be so great. And I was looking forward to it, and he said, I want, in 2011, I want Boomerang built, established, and filled. Now, I didn't fully know everything that that meant, but let me just tell you the end result of that. At that time that he told me that, we were renting a building that we only had access to one day a week, and it was constantly pain. We had to come in early and set up and do all this stuff. By the end of 2011, we had been founded on the foundation that Boomerang has been built on spiritually. We had been established. We knew where we were going. We had moved into a new build. I'm not talking about we knew physically where we were going. We knew spiritually the direction God had for us. We had really, in a sense, been born. We had been built at that time. Even though we've been having church for a couple of years, we knew who we were. God had built us. And now He was establishing us in this year. And I'll tell you this, by the end of 2011, we had a new building that we stayed in for 6 years. We had more room in that building than we knew what to do with. We had so little when we first moved in. By the end of the year, that whole building was filled with furniture and desk and trash cans, more than we could hold. I mean, He filled us. And it wasn't cheap stuff. It was good stuff. It was like exactly what this verse said. He filled us with all precious and pleasant riches. And so let's look at this verse again. And it says, by wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. By wisdom a house is built, by understanding it is established, and by knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, what I want to share with you right here is, before we even look into what is wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, what I want you to see is this. It is all talking about wisdom, understanding, and knowledge of God. It's knowledge of Him. It's wisdom, His wisdom. It's His understanding that we're talking about. But in these two verses, we have all three words, which sometimes have, even in the King James, sometimes these words were interchanged, and like what one Hebrew word would say wisdom in one place, and another one it might say understanding. So I wanted to know, what's the difference between these words? Lord, I'm asking You to show me. I'm asking You to show me. And He opened up my eyes to it. He brought that wisdom that I'm talking about. And so it says, by wisdom a house is built. So we know that wisdom builds. Please put that in the comments. Wisdom builds. It says, by understanding it is established. So understanding establishes. Understanding establishes. And knowledge fills. Knowledge feels. How many people want to be built? How many people want to be established and stop being shaky on shaky ground, but you want to be stable? How many people want to be filled with the good things of God? You know, I do. Man, I do. Well, in order to be built, established, and filled, we must understand and get wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. The verse we were talking about yesterday is, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. God has commanded us to get that. Why? Because He wants you blessed, and you're going to be blessed. You're going to get wisdom. You're going to get filled. You're going to get established. You're going to get built. You're going to get wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. That's who I'm talking to today. That's why you're listening to this broadcast, because you want that, and you're going to be. What are you doing? You're saying, Lord, I need what you have, and I'm esteeming you today with an extreme reverence. And although, you know, to the fleshly mind, this may seem tedious, I don't care about that. Lord, I want you. I want your wisdom. I want your understanding. I want your knowledge. And because of that, I'm telling you, as you esteem the things of the Lord, you are going to be built, established, and filled. This is your year for being built, established, and filled. I hear these messages coming back to me. This is a year of a culmination of all of these blessings, and this is your year. Put it in the comments. This is my year. And you may say this is my year to be built, established, and filled. Amen. Do you feel that? Can you feel the Holy Spirit ministering that to you? This is your year. And I'm going to tell you some more what that does and how to do that. All right, now, amen. Chelsea said, this is my year. Glory to God. Now, I want you to see this, okay? So wisdom, when you look at the root word of wisdom, here's what it speaks of. Wisdom is a skilled craft or applying learned knowledge. Wisdom is a skilled craft or applying learned knowledge. You can put that in the comments, someone. Wisdom is a skilled craft or applying learned knowledge. So what you see in wisdom is a learning process. You see a schooling process. You see that the Lord will take us into a schooling and a learning process where, in other words, like as I study the Word, as I give myself to study the Word, and I'm opening myself up to the Holy Ghost to teach me. The Word says the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. There's a difference between teaching you something and telling you something that you didn't know, okay? Wisdom speaks to the learning that we receive from teaching, okay? It's a skill. It's a craft. Imagine, since wisdom will bring about a building, imagine if we go to school to learn how to be a carpenter and build in construction. That's exactly what this is. That person that would go in construction to school, they would learn a craft that would give them the wisdom to be able to put the pieces together and build a structure. It would give them the wisdom to build a structure. And why? Because they've been taught that. They've learned these things. They've gone through a teaching process. And this is what wisdom is. Wisdom from the Lord is a teaching from God to teach us about these things. Now, the second thing it says is, by understanding, that house or that building is established. Understanding is, and hear this, hey guys, switch the cameras. Let's not have one shot the whole time. Mental separation, discernment, or revelation. So understanding is mental separation, discernment, or revelation. Mental separation, discernment, or revelation. In other words, this is the ability to discern what's going on in a situation, and it speaks of revelation, things that you can't know any other way but by supernatural input. So understanding is mental separation, discernment, and revelation. So when I say mental separation, let me show you this. In other words, wisdom is something that can be taught and stored here. Wisdom can be taught and stored here, but understanding actually is a discerning that's not from a stored memory. It's not from something that you've learned. It's not from just a craft. Understanding is a revelation. It's a supernatural knowing that you don't have any other way unless God gave it to you. So you can see already how these are beneficial. Like I can learn only so much. In other words, for example, in my years on the earth, there's only so much time that I can have learned a certain amount of things. But through understanding, I can actually know things that I didn't have time to learn. I can have things of God that I didn't know, and He can tell me things that I shouldn't know, right? I shouldn't know it naturally. I never studied it. He can tell me things that are in the past. He can tell me things that are happening present. He can tell me things that are in the future. Understanding is a huge thing. It's a supernatural revelation separate from just what I've learned and stored in my mental capacity through the teaching of the Holy Ghost. This is a revelatory thing. Understanding is a supernatural revelation. And then we look at knowledge, which is probably the simplest of it. And knowledge is simply facts or trivia or truth about God. It's particularly the knowledge of God and His Word. So it's facts, trivia, and truth that comes from the Lord. Facts, trivia, or truth that comes from the Lord, and particularly this knowledge talks about knowledge of God. Knowledge of God. And so what we see is we see this culmination of, if God can give you knowledge about who He is, you will look at Him in a particular way. And see, this is, watch this, much of the church has actually been missing out on the filling of their house, the filling of their life, because they haven't known Him like they should. They haven't known God. They haven't had knowledge of Him. They've not actually known truth. What they've known is everything that the world's told them. They've known, oh, well, God's a bully. Well, God's this. Well, God's that. They've known all of these things because the world's told them that, but it wasn't actually knowledge of God. And because of that, they never believed God to do anything in their life. They never do anything to believe God for anything, because they don't know Him. They don't know that He's a good God. They don't know that He loves them with an everlasting love. They don't know that He's not withholding any good thing to those who walk uprightly. He wants to give us all things, like with the prodigal son and the older son. He says, "Son, everything I have is yours." They don't know Him like that, and because of that, their house is not filled. So what you see here is that you see that wisdom is going to be where God gives us knowledge about those things, and then our knowledge will come from the Lord, and then God will take His wisdom and He'll show us how to take those pieces of knowledge and put them together and combine them into a skill and a craft that comes by teaching from the Holy Spirit. And while we're doing that, He will also give us understanding and revelation that will add to it things that we don't even know from our skill and from our learning, but God will prepare us in that way. So if you can imagine this, right? You can have knowledge about what a board is. You can have knowledge in what a nail is. But without wisdom, I don't know how to build a house. I don't know how to do that. But now watch this. I need wisdom to make that. I could try to build something, but it's probably not going to stand for long. I could try to build something without wisdom. I could just say, hey, maybe I can put these together. And I could try to build something, but it's not necessarily going to end up in a structure that I want it to be. It'll probably be unstable. It'll be unsafe. And it's just not going to be what I want it to be. However, if I have wisdom, then, and I have the teaching of the Lord and a skilled learning and craft from the Holy Ghost, I can take those bits of truth and knowledge and facts, and I can combine them to build a house. And now that house will stand. Now that house will be what it needs to be. Now that house will give me protection. Now that house will give me comfort. Now that house will protect me from the wind and the rains and storms. Now that house won't blow down just when a gust of wind comes by, right? But in the middle of that, I can also have understanding. In other words, the Lord can say, hey, this was not in your teaching, but maybe you should add this to the house, and it adds a bit of establishing. In other words, that thing is standing up straight. See, a lot of times we will have wisdom, but our wisdom is not full or complete. But yet the understanding of the Lord will bring it to be established. One of the definitions of establishment is that it is upright. In other words, it's not to the left and it's not leaning to the left or to the right, but it is standing straight. Don't you know that if you have a house and it has a little bit of a lean to it, it's always going to be structurally more unsound than if it was standing up straight. By standing up straight, you have the most strength, the most support, and that understanding brings us an establishment. That understanding will bring us the establishment that we need. And so let's read that verse again. By wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. And by knowledge, the rooms are filled, not just with anything. They're filled, glory to God, they're filled with all precious and pleasant riches. They're filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Let's look at this same verse in the Amplified. Through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family built. And by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. And by knowledge, its chambers of every area will be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Hear that. Let me read this again, but slowly, amen. All right, it says, through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, and family built. So we're not just talking about our physical home. We're talking about the building of our house. Like Psalms 127, you know, 2. Unless the Lord, or 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, he labors in vain that builds it. In other words, God is interested in building the house of your life. And he's not interested, see, when we know him, we realize he's not wanting to build a shack for you. He wants to build an impressive thing. He wants to bless you with his glory. You know what he did with man in the garden? He crowned man with his glory. He crowned him with his glory. And that's what Jesus bought back for us. God doesn't want to just put rags on you. And I'm not just talking about physical things. I'm talking about your spiritual life. I'm talking about the wholeness of your life. He wants you crowned with his glory. God wants you overflowing. He's interested in building every part of your life. And so he says, through skillful and godly wisdom, a house, a life, a home, a family is built. Are you believing God for a home? God will give you wisdom to have that home built. I mean, a physical house. Are you believing God for a family? God will give you the wisdom for a family to be built. Are you believing God for a full life? Not a life of lack, not a life that's beat down, but a full, full life. If you're believing God for a full life, he will give you and build you a full life. How does it come though? Through his wisdom. Now let me ask you this question. How many people are going after his wisdom? How many people are studying to show themselves approved? How many people are doing those things? Not there haven't been enough. Do you know why? Because they haven't been giving God the reverence and the honor that he's due. And because of that, they've not even stepped into the beginning of wisdom on a regular, consistent basis. And because of that, they won't have these things built. But see, when we know who God is and we know what he wants to do, we're not just saying, Lord, I love you and I want to study for your sake. We're also saying, and I know that you'll do something while I'm doing it. That's who you are. You're giving on both sides. Lord, I know you. That's who you are. Continuing in the Amplified. Through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family built. By understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. It is established on a sound and good foundation. In other words, he's saying, look, when you have understanding, I'm going to make your foundation solid. It won't be unlevel. It will be level. It will be straight. It won't be leaning to the left or to the right. It will be straight up and down. And through this understanding, I will give you supernatural revelation even outside of your study. And I will give you supernatural revelation that will set a foundation where the devil can't topple you. I'll give you a supernatural foundation where the storms of life will blow, but they won't blow you over. I will give you a supernatural revelation that will keep you on a sound and a good foundation. And verse 4, and by knowledge shall its chambers of every area be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. In other words, God doesn't want one room of your house. God doesn't want one area of your life that's not filled with big and precious blessings. Precious. Filled, not just a little bit, not just enough, not just to get by. He wants to fill you with precious and pleasant riches. These are things that you will call pleasant, things that you will call precious. God wants to fill you. Put it in the comments right now. Just say, God wants to fill every area of my life. And this is your year. This is your year for God to fill you. Put it in the comments. This is my year to be filled with God's good things. This is my year to be filled with God's good things. And it is. Glory to God. Glory. This is your year to be filled with all of God's good things. Not one area, not one room of your life left out. Can you see it? Can you see why God wants to get us wisdom and understanding and knowledge? Can you see why he wants to get us these things? He wants us to be filled. He wants us to be overflowing. Glory to God. Put some hands up. Amen. Watch this. I'll read this last. This is the Young's literal translation in Proverbs 24:3-4, Young's literal translation. It says, by wisdom a house is builded, and by understanding it establisheth itself. And by knowledge the inner parts are filled with all precious and pleasant wealth. Not just you know what you might think. He literally goes and says it will be wealth. He doesn't just want to fill you with good things. He wants you wealthy. See, it's all over the Bible. God wants you distinguished from the people. He wants you to stand out. God wants to bless you and to crown you with his glory. He started in the garden when he made mankind. He said, this one is made my image and likeness, and he will be different. And the angels stood back and said, what is a man? What is a man? He wants you to be filled with wealth. He wants you to be filled with all precious and pleasant things. He wants you to have a house of your life, a home of your life, completely built and established so it's not shaky. It can't be blown over. Glory to God. He wants these things to come into your life Amen. Buddy says, I noticed that praying Ephesians 1, 18 and 19 over myself has completely shifted the revelation that comes out of my devotion life. Amen. And that's down there where it's saying, Lord, I pray that my eyes of understanding would be opened and enlightened. God wants to fill you with His wisdom, His understanding, and His knowledge. Tomorrow we're going to talk about how these things, what does it look like? How do these things now come? What will the Lord do? We're going to talk about what that looks like and what steps we need to know so that we can walk out this house built, established, and filled. And when we see that, we've got to say, Lord, I reverence you. That's the key, the beginning, like I said at the beginning. God, let me just read it to you again. God is the beginning and the end of wisdom, and all true wisdom is in Him. If wisdom, understanding, and knowledge didn't come from Him and through Him, then it's not true wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. It may be worldly, what we call worldly wisdom, but it's not carrying the power to build you, establish you, and fill you. And that's why one of the things, like, you know, we can lift up and we can exalt all different types of education in the world. But if that education is not coming through God, it is not what you need first. We seek His kingdom and His righteousness first, and all these things will be added unto you. And so as we wrap up today, I want you to see that it always comes from God. It always comes from the Lord. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear or the extreme reverence, respect, and honor of God, saying, Lord, I need you. I've got to have you. Everything revolves around you. I love you. I want you, Lord, in my life. This extreme reverence. Lord, I thank you for it. I just pray. Let me just pray for you right now. And I just want you to seek the Lord. Father, what would you have me to do? Lord, show me what to do concerning wisdom and revelation and knowledge. Father, I just ask that you would show each person what you would have them to do concerning wisdom and revelation and knowledge. Lord, every action, everything that they shouldn't step into, and every place where they should step into, Lord, show them each step in a flow of your intimate fellowship with them. Lord, lead them to the left and to the right, forward and backwards, wherever they should go. Lord, lift them up to new heights. Father, thank you for lifting us. Bring every person that's watching and hearing this, bring them, Lord, into the place. Help them move into the place of true wisdom and understanding and knowledge so that they can be built, established, and filled, Lord. Bring them into this place. Thank you, Father, for that wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Just say it with me in the comments. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. Thank you, Father, for your wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a skill, showing us a craft. You know, right now, and if you hung out and you didn't just jump because I started praying, see, you're going to get an extra nugget. Right now, I want you to see something. If you are studying for school, studying for a career or an occupation, right? Guess who will show you the wisdom? Because the wisdom of the Lord is not limited only to spiritual things in the Bible only. No, God gave every bit of wisdom that's in the world came from Him, because all wisdom comes from Him. He's the beginning of wisdom and He's the end of wisdom. If you need a word in your life, the word actually makes us a promise. There's actually a promise of God in Psalms that says, you will know more than your teachers. You will know more than your teachers. How is that possible? How is that possible? That's exactly what I'm talking about. How is that possible for you, the student, to know more than your teachers? You know, look up that verse, if you would, buddy, and put that in there. How is it possible for you to know more than your teachers? The way that it's possible is that God, when you get into fellowship with the Lord, He will show you and give you wisdom that's beyond a world's wisdom, that's beyond a college professor's wisdom. He'll show you true wisdom from heaven out of Himself, and you will know more than your teachers. Hey, Carolyn, she said, nice background. Thank you very much. We just changed it today, and it looks great. The guys have done awesome. We have the best team in this broadcast. I just appreciate y'all so much. And they really do a great, great job, and they came up with it. So hallelujah. So the word, the scripture, Buddy's getting ready to put up for us. It says, you will know more than your teachers. See, this is the kind of wisdom that God wants you to walk in. And so when we ought to be thanking him, it says in Philippians, when we pray, make our petitions known with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And when we pray with thanksgiving, that's when our prayers are heard. We pray, we worship ahead of time, Lord, I worship you. And then we pray and we make our petitions known. We ask him for what we're asking him for today. Lord, help us to have that wisdom. But it says, Lord, we have to thank him in that petition. Lord, we pray our petitions with thanksgiving. So we're thanking him before we ever see it. We're thanking him for wisdom before we ever see it. So Lord, right now, we thank you for that wisdom. We thank you for that wisdom. Thank you, Father, for pouring out supernatural craft, skills. Thank you, Lord, for pouring out supernatural wisdom. That's true wisdom. We praise you for it and we worship you. We give you all of the glory. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. And Lord, right now, we thank you for supernatural understanding, revelation, things that we couldn't know. There's no way we could have learned them. See, in wisdom, the Lord will help you supernaturally learn things at a supernatural pace. But with understanding, it is a supernatural revelation and a supernatural thing that you couldn't know because you hadn't even studied it yet. This is wisdom and understanding from the Father. Thank you, Lord, for supernatural understanding. Thank you, Lord, for when we need to know something supernaturally, we'll have the understanding. And will be established. Thank you, Lord, for supernatural understanding, not just helping us know how to learn, not just teaching us, but giving us an understanding that we didn't have any reason to know. Thank you, Lord, for supernatural understanding. And Lord, oh, thank you. Thank you for true knowledge of you. Lord, thank you for true knowledge of you. Lord, we praise you and we worship you. Thank you, Lord, for filling us with the knowledge, the facts, the truths that we need to know in this life, both spiritually and physically. We thank you ahead of time because when we ask you for it, we know it's coming. When we ask you for it, we know it's coming. When we ask you for it, we know it's coming. And we thank you for it and we praise you for it. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. Ah, we praise you, Lord. We worship you. We give you all of the glory and the honor and the praise. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Just praise him with me. Put some hands up in the comments. Just praise him. Lift your hands if you can where you're at. Lord, we just praise you. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We receive from you supernatural wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Supernatural wisdom, understanding and knowledge. We thank you for it, Father. Glory to God. Supernatural wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. We praise you and we worship you. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We're going to go into this more today because there's some more revelations that are really cool to look at and to see this play out. The interaction between knowledge and wisdom and understanding and how to move into that, what it does for your life. Because if you don't know that God's doing this for your life, then you will be unknowledgeable about what he's actually wants to do and what he's done. And so then the devil can come in, he can throw something at you and say, oh, well, that's not going to work. But see, when you have knowledge about it and you have wisdom on it, you'll say, no, devil, you're wrong. I know what the word says about my life. I know that it's built. I know that it's established. You can't blow it over. I know that I have the knowledge, and I know that God's filling my life with wealth, filling every room of my life, every room of my physical house, of my spiritual house, with precious and pleasant riches and in the wealth of heaven, not just the wealth of the world, the wealth of heaven. I know that he's given those things to me. And so see, when you give yourself in the fear of the Lord, in that extreme reverence to God, to search out these things, to study to show yourself approved, to examine the scriptures like Acts 17:11 talks about with the Bereans. When you give yourself, you'll start to know things, and when the devil comes knocking on your door trying to bring a storm, it ain't going to work. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Today, if you'd like to give, you can give either on Facebook by typing in the comments, hashtag donate, if you'd like to sow, or you can go to giveww.org, and at giveww.org, you can give one time, or you can partner with us on a regular basis, and I'd like everybody there so that we can keep in contact with you. Just on the front page, hit keep me in the loop, and fill out that form, and we'll be able to get in touch with you and let you know of anything that's going on, any special events. And so like Kickstart, Carolyn Shuttlesworth, I don't know if she's still on here today, but her and Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. are coming February 7th to Boomerang. It's going to be awesome. That's a special event we want to let you know about as well. That's one of the ways that we can let you know. But if you would like to sow today, then all you have to do on Facebook, you can type in hashtag donate and the amount, or go to giveww.org. And here's what I want you to see. I've been studying recently about altars and offerings. And in that, what I'm seeing in this is any time that somebody is in expectation, or any time that somebody has been fed, or any time that somebody wants more of a topic, or any time that God has been a blessing to their lives, people set up an altar and gave an offering. So how does that relate? In other words, if I have been fed, okay? In other words, if you've been fed during this broadcast, that's a moment where you see all throughout the Bible that people, and the Word says, you're to share with them who do good in teaching you the Word. And so the Bible teaches us that principle. Or if we're sitting there and say, I got revelation right here. I need this revelation, or I need that revelation. I want to walk more in wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Then you sow into that message that carried the anointing on it, and that anointing of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge, you're sowing in to reap that in your life. You're recognizing, I see the anointing on it. I see God's hand on it. And Lord, I'm telling you, I'm not just sowing into just a ministry. I'm telling you, Lord, I believe in that wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and I receive it. You're sowing into that. Or you get to the place where you see, Lord, you have blessed us. Every time the children of Israel came out of a situation, they would set up an altar and they would give an offering. Lord, you blessed me here. I received today, and I want you to know. I want you to know that we are thankful for what you've done. And the first thing that I mentioned was expectation. I'm coming into this broadcast. I'm coming into this worship service. I'm coming into this church service, and I am expecting something, Lord. And it's kind of like when we pray, we give thanks ahead of time. When we pray, we give thanks ahead of time. What we're saying in expectation is, I'm expecting supernatural and miraculous to happen to me today, and because of that, I'm sowing right now. And so when we sow, whether it be for expectation or because we were fed, or whether it be because we want to receive more of that item, or we've been blessed, those four things, those are all reasons to sow. And hopefully, I've given you all four of those today. I've met your expectations. I've fed you. Hopefully you're sitting here at the end of this saying, I need more wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And hopefully you're also saying, that has blessed me. I know that I've gone to a higher place. That's my goal in every broadcast, is to bring that. This broadcast, we sow it ourselves into the world to get the good news of God out every single weekday, and we give it to you. It costs you nothing. But if you want to partner, if you want to sow into today one time or on a regular basis, we make that easy for you. So now everybody, I'm seeing people that are sowing, everybody that has sowed, Lord, right now I just pray over every seed. Let it be blessed, pressed down, shaken together, running over, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Lord, I call right now for a quick and supernatural harvest in Jesus' name. Just like that understanding that comes From thing, thank you, Lord. There's something special even on the offering on this. Lord, just like that off, like understanding, that you give us supernatural revelation that we couldn't have studied for, that we haven't put in yet. Lord, I'm asking you, because we're ministering on that, and I sense you want to do it, that for the people that are sowing, Lord, that it will be supernatural supply to them, even above and beyond what they've done. Lord, let it be things that they couldn't have got. Let their harvest, Lord, be on things that they couldn't have been prepared for. They couldn't have had skill for. It's beyond their schooling. Let their harvest be beyond their schooling, Lord, beyond their skill. Let their harvest, Lord, be beyond what they could naturally get or receive. Lord, let it be supernatural, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, that's good. Man, I'm going to sow again today myself. I'm not kidding about that. I did it afterwards yesterday. I'm going to do it again. I'm talking to Barrett. She's behind the camera. I want that. I want that supernatural as well. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just praise you. Just praise him with me. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and your mercy. We praise you and we worship you. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing. Thank you, Lord. All glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, we receive wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. See, even in this broadcast, hopefully you've received some wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, even about seed time and harvest, what I had there at the end. And the more things like that that the Lord opens up to us, the more that we walk in the fullness of God. So, Father, we just praise you and we worship you today and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Barrett's going to wrap us up, tell us some important things. I love you. I will see you tomorrow. We will talk more about this relationship between wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and you're going to get a lot out of it. Have a great, great night. Bye-bye.
If there has ever been a series that is right on time, it has been this one. The Lord has just been so good in pouring this stuff out. Because here's the thing, in the middle of everything going on, what we need more than anything is to learn how to hear the voice of God, how to turn logic and thinking off and be able to step into wisdom, revelation, and knowledge. Now more than ever, this is a series that is vital. So here's what I want you to do right now. I don't just want you to listen to this and click off and be like, oh, that was so good. Take this broadcast and share it with somebody. You know, if you're on YouTube right now, you can click the link, copy and paste it, and text it out to people. There are people who need to know the difference between these three things, how to hear God's voice. Go back to yesterday's, do the same with yesterday. Make sure the people in your realm of influence hear this message, because it's important, especially right now. Now more than ever, it's on time. And as Pastor was saying, you know, with different platformy things, whatever, we want you to stay connected with us no matter what happens. Go to our website right now. What's WRIGHT.com, and you can click the connect with us, keep in touch, I think is what Pastor was saying. Give us your information. That way, if anything's coming up like Kickstart, we can make you aware of it. And speaking of Kickstart, I'm so glad you asked about it. Kickstart's going to be here February 7th through the 12th. We're coming right up on it. 3 Sundays away from right now is going to be Kickstart with evangelist Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. He and his wife, evangelist Carolyn Shuttlesworth, they are going to be here in person with us. It's going to be great. He and Pastor Brian are going to tag team minister. It's really one of my favorite events that happens throughout the entire year, and we want you to be a part. We'll have childcare. We have hotels here in town with special rates that we have gotten just for you. Yes, you, Mama Crabtree, whenever you watch this, come to Kickstart. We've got special hotel rates for you. Anybody watching, really, not just Buddy's mom. But if you want to come and stay in a hotel, let us know. We'll let you know what those rates are. We'll hook you up. We just want you here where the Lord is doing something mighty. We want you to be a part of it. February 7th through the 12th. And then tomorrow, we'll be back with another part of this series, Wisdom versus Revelation versus Knowledge. Tomorrow, 11:30 a.m. Be here, or I'm not even going to give you another option. Be here. It's going to be great. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow.